It is the ultimate vacation Bible school, Sunday school story. I mean, it captures kids' attention. It captures my attention. Just the debates that people have about the debates that, you know, well, there ain't no way that anybody can fit inside the big belly of a whale. Well, for one thing, it didn't say whale, it said great big fish. Then it also said that God prepared him. In other words, it's not just your normal fish. God prepared that fish in order for that to happen. I did this. This was one of the first series of things that I ever did. It was to go through the book of Jonah. And so as the years go by, you go back and you look at sermons that I look at sermons that I've done back early in my ministry, and I think, no, that ain't going to work. But I went back over this, and I was looking at it, and I said, you know what? This is pretty good. I think it's important that we get the proper attitude and perspective on the book of Jonah. It is not a fairy tale. It is something that really actually did happen, and that is so relevant for us as adults today that it just reeks on us as far as about things that we need to do in this life. Jonah, the first chapter. Let's look at the first two verses of Jonah in the first chapter. In verse 1 it says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying," in verse 2, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Let's talk about the characters, because this is kind of important in this story. Who was Jonah? Well, Jonah was a prophet. Okay? You could say, well, Jonah was a preacher. Yeah, that's not quite the same, but you could say that kind of position in society, he was the Word of God. God would give him word, and he would just faithfully and turn around, give it to the people. Yeah, pretty much preaching. So, they had prophet schools at that time. There was a whole lot of stuff going on. You know, they had a whole bunch of prophets all claiming to have God's word. I don't know if God was giving them words or not. I mean, yeah, he probably was. But you would think that a prophet who hears from the word of God would actually listen to God, to the word of God, when it applies to them. Makes sense. They actually are the one hearing God's word. And here Jonah was a prophet, preacher, and he was just going about his business. I will tell you something. There is something about Jonah here that will lead us to believe that Jonah is a bit self-righteous. He's a bit self-righteous. And what does that mean? It means that he thinks that he's better than everyone else. That he makes himself better than everyone else. Why do I say that? Well, who is Nineveh? Where's Nineveh? Nineveh is not a person. Nineveh is a city. It was a great city. It was a great city. And he wanted Jonah to go and preach to the Ninevites. Well, isn't that what preachers do, is go preach? Now, let me tell you, God has not been calling me over to the Middle East, you know, as a missionary to preach. Okay? That is not the call. Neither has he been wanting to send me to Hawaii to start a mission. That's not the case. God has called me here, and this is where I am for now. You know, subject to the word of God. So, what's his problem? It's not like he has to go live there. He's just going to preach to them. Well, they were evil, wicked people. Okay? So we're not supposed to preach to evil and wicked people. No, that's not what his problem was. In the historical record here, we'll find that for some reason, Nineveh, the Ninevites, he hated them. He hated them. Maybe it was something that happened in the past, but the Ninevites, they were wicked and evil people, and they had caused all kinds of issues and problems. It'd be like saying, I want you to take your worst enemy in the whole world, and I want you to go show them some love and tell them about Jesus. Now, I'll say that makes it a little more personal, doesn't it? Well, they don't deserve that. And besides, that'd be way too uncomfortable for me. And what did God want Jonah to do? He wanted him to preach to him. And Jonah said, no, Lord, I can't do that. I'm not going to do that. This was not God asking Jonah to do this. Okay? This was not a choice that Jonah had. God told Jonah, go and preach to Nineveh. There was no out clause. No, there's no fine print in there. He just told him to go. So, when God tells, I don't know about you, but when somebody tells me that I have to do something, my first thought is what? Okay, I hear everybody's going, I ain't going to do that. That's my first thought. Now, I'll think about it, and depending on who's telling me, but depending on who's telling me, I might tell them no, and I might say yes, ma'am. I mean, No, but no one likes being told what to do. God was telling him what to do. So how do you react when somebody asks you or tells you to do something that you don't want to do? Well, some try to talk their way out of it. Some try to ignore it. Just to pretend it's never been asked and it'll never, they won't have to worry about anything. And some try to hide. sometimes kids will hide, won't they? They'll run off and hide. Or I love the parts where the kids will come up and they'll try to talk their way out of doing something. Go take out the trash. It's not full enough yet. Maybe some adults do that right now. But but here's the thing. They try to intelligently discuss it with you, the adults and stuff, and they're trying to get out of doing something. But you know what? A lot of people just run away. They just don't deal with it. They just run away from it. Jonah decided to run. God had told him what to do. And Jonah said, no, I can't do that. Why didn't he stay there? Why didn't he stay there? Why did he have to run? He just didn't have to go. In doing so, by running, things appeared to be much harder on him. I want you to think about this. God wanted him to go 500 miles northeast to Nineveh overland through the Fertile Crescent. Easy drive. Instead, he's going to take a distasteful sea voyage. Jews hate ships anyway, by the way. They did not like sea travel. 2,000 miles west. So God was sending him to the greatest city of the day. But instead, he was headed for a remote trading post on the fringes of civilization. He was trying to go to the furthest place that he could possibly go, so God couldn't find him. The Lord wished to go with his prophet. Instead, Jonah tried to run from the presence of God. Oh, how foolish that is. Any path... Now catch this. Any path that a person takes away from God is a foolish and dangerous path. There's a lot of folks today on a foolish and dangerous path. We'll talk a little bit about the foolishness of trying to hide from God, try to run from Him. What can possibly be served in trying to outrun God? Well, one thing, you're going to lose your freedom. Now, you go rob a bank, guys, and you'll end up losing your freedom. You know, you won't be able to go where you want to go, do what you want to do. In Jonah's case, he lost his freedom. He couldn't go where he wanted to go. He couldn't do what he wanted to do because he was restricted. Because in his mind, he thought, God's going to catch me if I go there. You'll lose your blessings. All the things that you have, the blessings in your life, when you start running from God, you'll begin to lose those blessings. You'll lose your fellowship. When you're running from God, you will stop praying to God. You'll stop having a relationship with God. And you know what? If you're running from God and you say that you have a great prayer life, you are a liar. Because the reason why you're running from God is because you don't want to deal with God. You don't want, because it's not going to be, if you're praying about someone's, you know, somebody else, He's going to say, stop, we got to get this taken care of first. And He's going to deal with you. And you know that when you go to Him in prayer, you know that's what the subject's going to be brought up. Do you ever avoid someone simply because you don't want a certain subject brought up? I don't want to deal with that today. I don't want to talk about that. That's the way we do God. And it's the reason why we don't pray. It's because we're on the wrong path. And when we know and we pray, God's going to talk to us about it. And so we just simply run and don't pray. You're in danger also of punishment. You know, God doesn't punish you for one individual sin that was done. I mean, He doesn't punish you for that. We don't do that to our kids. But there's a point in time when you're on the wrong path and nothing is catching your attention to turn around and come back. Sometimes you got to get punished. Sometimes you got to get corrected. Sometimes you got to get turned around. And God knows exactly how to do that. And where you run is more dangerous than facing the music with God. You don't realize at the time, but where you're running is a lot more dangerous than getting right with God. You see, it's out of the frying pan and into the fire. Running from God is foolish. Hiding from God is even foolish. It's just as foolish. What did Adam and Eve do in the garden when God came a-calling and they realized that they had sinned? And they were naked. They went and tried to hide from God. Did it work? Of course it didn't. Of course it didn't. How embarrassing it will be one day when we look back and see all the times when we've ran from God, when we could have easily just got right with Him, and Him made our lives right. We're going to take a big section of this passage and read it, because it's mainly the story here about what happened. So in verse 3, "But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." He basically got on a boat. So he thought that getting on that boat was going to take him from the presence of God. Verse 4. "But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up." That's just a coincidence, I'm sure. Just a coincidence. In verse 5, "Then the mariners mariners who were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship and had laid down and was fast asleep. They were up there. Now I want you to get this picture. You get the picture here. They were up there trying to keep the weight down so that they would not fall into rocks. You know, hit the rocks. And so they were pitching everything off. And they were very afraid. Every time they would cry out to their God, "Help us, help us, help us." Because it was a serious situation. And where was Jonah? He was down in the belly there. He was sound asleep. Just kind of... Isn't that exactly what happens? I'm getting into the message here a little bit. I'm not telling the story. But isn't that, think about that. Isn't that what happens to us? We just kind of, the storm's all around us and we're just kind of sleeping through. Now, in verse 6. So the captain went down, woke him up, and said to him, "What do you mean, sleeper? Why in the world are you sleeping? Arise." He says, "You need to call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish." He says, "None of these other gods seem to have taken credit for this. Maybe it's your God that's doing it. So why don't you sacrifice to do something for your God so that we may not perish?" The next verse tells us, "And they said to one another, 'Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose the cause this trouble has come upon us.'" They were actually going to, you know, cast lots to find out who it was. By the way, Jonah wasn't fessing up to it either. He wasn't. He wasn't going to tell them that it was him. And so they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Imagine that. Verse 8. "And then they said to him, 'Please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What's your occupation? And where do you come from? Where's your country? What is your country? And what of what people are you?'" They're asking the 20 questions. They're trying to find out how to save their lives. And Jonah says, "I ain't going back. I don't want to go back there." In verse 9, "So he said to them, 'I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land.'" Sounds like a preacher answer, doesn't it? "I'm a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven." But did he really fear him? And he said, "I made the sea and the dry land." But why is he using the sea and the dry land to try to escape from the God who made it? The next verse tells us what the reaction of the men were. "Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, 'Why have you done this?' For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord." Why are you running from God? You know why they knew? He eventually told them. "I'm running from this mighty God who made the sea and the land." Was that any of the sailors' faults? Did they have anything to do with that? But yet here they are in the middle because of Jonah running from God. In verse 11, "Then they said to him, 'What shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us?'" What is it that we're going to have to do here and get the water calm? "For the sea was growing more tempestuous.'" "And he said to them, 'Pick me up, throw me into the sea, and then the sea will become calm for you, for I know that this great tempest is because of me. Just throw me overboard, and then you'll live.'" Verse 13. Verse 13. I'm sorry. I misread it. Verse 14, go back to where you were. I'm sorry. All right, and so they picked up Jonah, and they threw... Okay. I knew he was missing a verse someplace. Go back to 14. Therefore they cried out to the Lord and said, "We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it has pleased you." It sounds like they were more religious than the preacher were. And they're just old grubby sailors. They recognize God. Now let's go to verse 14, 15. So they picked up Jonah and they threw him into the sea, and the sea caused ceased from its raging. In verse 16, then the men feared the Lord, and exceedingly they offered up a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. We'll stop the story there. I want you to notice, firstly, Jonah's reaction. He did not care. Jonah was sleeping during the storm. He was hard-hearted. He was unaware of the trouble he was in. And all he could think about was getting away. It was all about Jonah. It was all about how he could save himself. It was all about how he could keep from doing what he didn't want to do. And Jonah only acknowledged that he was the cause of the storm until it was brought to his attention. Until he was forced to admit that he was the problem. Jonah acknowledged then that he had done wrong, but wasn't sorry. Do you realize that you can acknowledge that you've done wrong, but still not be sorry? He knew what it would take to save themselves. He knew. Repentance and obedience. But he still refused to go to Nineveh. He did not have to be thrown over that boat. He could have, at that point in time, got on his hands and his knees and prayed to God, "God, forgive me. Let's turn this boat around and send me to Nineveh." He didn't have to get thrown over. But yet, that was his option. He would have rather died than to go. What I think happened was he was too prideful of himself and to humble himself before God and say, "God, I'm sorry. I'll do what you ask." He'd rather have died. And now, is that how we react sometimes when God convicts of our hearts about something? Do we run and hide, or rather die, than to get rid of our pet sin that plagues our life? To give all of our lives to Him instead of that little portion? "I surrender all, I surrender part." Don't we run and hide when we're asked to witness to that lost friend or relative that needs to Christ? Maybe there's a lot of folks that are running and hiding because a lot of guys, because God wants them to surrender the ministry. Maybe they're a saved child of God and there's people out there and God's saying, "I want you to be baptized. I can't walk that aisle. I can't get up there. I'm too embarrassed." They're running from God because of it. Maybe they're running to ask Jesus from Jesus to save their soul, to live forever with Him in eternal life. Maybe they're running from Him because they don't want to surrender their lives to God, and God is chasing after them. "Yeah, I want you to." And they're turning Him down. The sailor's reaction was this: "Lord, save us." Isn't this amazing? When we cause storms in our lives by disobeying God, the storms typically affect other people besides us. It's not just about you. It's about those around you, the ones that you care about. It's the ones that affect, that your storm's going to affect their lives in some way. But compare their reaction to this hard-hearted, self-righteous Jonah. They were convicted, aware and convicted of their danger. They knew that they were in trouble. Jonah didn't seem to have a care. He didn't seem to care about the trouble that they were in. Notice something else. They suddenly became religious. They were talking about all their other people's gods, and when nothing was still working, they'd say, Jonah, what about your God? Maybe it's your God that's causing this. Maybe he can stop it. They cast forth their wares. They turned over a new leaf. In other words, they said they made promises to God. They may even said, Lord, if you'll get me out of this, I'll stop cussing. Because you know they cuss like a sailor. Now, isn't that what happens to a lot of folks? When they get in trouble, they turn to God. Jonah didn't even do that. And he was a prophet. And they had a good enough good sense to at least turn to God, even if they weren't being heard. Even if they didn't know this God, they had a good enough good sense to turn to Him. They sought human help in Jonah. They had tried to save themselves with human good works to no avail. So in desperation, they got rid of the cause of the storm, which was Jonah, and the storm subsided. When we get rid of sin through Christ, we'll have peace with God. We need to lighten our load too. So they surrendered to God. These heathens. God were other God worshipers. They feared God. They sacrificed to God. And they made vows to Him. And Jonah, all he did was get thrown over the boat. He allowed himself to get thrown over the boat. You see, even when we are running from God, in the middle of life storms, when God gives us opportunities to be a witness. Some of the storms that you go through, you didn't deserve. But your reaction to those storms are going to be a witness to those folks around you. So what was Jonah's witness? You know, when we're running through these storms, it seems, and running away from God, it seems the only thing we can think about is the running. How do I get away from it? How do I do this? One bad decision leads to another. When a witness says, what a witness Jonah could have been. I want you to think about this. What if Jonah had told the guy, turn the ship around, I'm going to Nineveh. That would have been an answer. What if he'd gotten on his knees and prayed to God for forgiveness in front of those people and then the storm stopped? That would have been, what an example and witness that would have been. Showing the sailors what a great and great forgiving God that we have. Showing by example how the Lord rescues the perishing. And He cares for the dying. What an example that would be. Maybe people are looking to you to be that kind of example. Maybe God is wanting you to be that example. But instead, he chose to continue to make one bad decision after another. I want to talk to you a little bit about Chippy the Parakeet. Chippy the Parakeet. Have you heard about Chippy the Parakeet? Well, Chippy the Parakeet never saw it coming. One second he was perfectly perched in his cage. The next one he was sucked in, washed up, and blown over. And the problems began when Chippy's owner decided to clean Chippy's cage with a vacuum cleaner. She removed the attachment from the end of the hose and she stuck it in the cage. Well, the phone rang. And she turned to pick it up and she barely said hello when she heard a okay? And Chippy had got sucked in. The bird owner gasped. She put down the phone and turned off the vacuum and opened the bag, and there was Chippy. Still alive, but a little stunned. And since the bird was covered with dust and soot, she grabbed him and she raced to the bathroom and turned on the faucet. And she held Chippy under the running water. And then, realizing that Chippy was soaked and shivering, she did what any compassionate bird owner would do. She reached for the hairdryer. And she blasted the pet with hot air. Poor Chippy never knew what hit him. A few days after the trauma, the reporter who had initially written about this event contacted Chippy's owner to see how the bird was recovering. And well, she replied, Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. He just sits and stares. You know, it's not hard to see why. Sucked in, washed up, and blown over. That's enough to steal the song from the stoutest heart. And I suspect that all of us. One decision leads to another bad decision. To another. They're just making the worst of a bad decision. Jonah could have at any point in time stopped his rebellion, stopped his running, but he kept making bad decision after bad decision, and he finds himself in... Well, I hate telling the end of the story, or the part of the story ahead of time, because this is for next week. He finds himself in the belly of a great fish. How in the world did he get there? One bad decision at a time. Do we find ourselves in the same predicament in our lives where we just can't seem to make the good one good decision, but we make one bad decision after another? Each bad decision just makes us deep, gets us deeper, and worsens our witness for God, and makes it difficult for us in our lives. So let's go to verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. Remember, he got thrown off. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. This is God's resolve, but it's your decision. He did not have to go into that well, that fish. He did not have to get thrown overboard. This is all on Jonah. There's a story about an airplane pilot who's flying a plane, and it crashed over the ocean, over a lake, I think it was, and came down. It started sinking, and everything was flooding, and the water was rising, the plane was sinking, and it was getting dark and dark and dark to a point where he couldn't see anything. He was just about as hopeless as a hopeless could be. There's no way out of this. And then he looked up, and there was this bright light shining from above. And then he knew that he had hope. I was looking up from the bottom when he finally shined his light on me. Sometimes you have to get to the bottom in order to be able to look up and see what God has for us. Could anything be worse for a person than to be in the belly of a whale? And it's in those moments when there are no distractions, nowhere else to go, there is nothing left to do, nowhere to run, and then that's when we can make the ultimate decisions in our life, and that is turn your life to God. Turn to God. Or die. Literally, he was in that position. If you don't turn your life over to Christ, you will die. And each one of us, at some point in time, faced that reality. When we came to know Christ as our Savior, we had that decision. Do I turn to Christ and live, or do I turn away and do I die? Some folks are so self-absorbed, so self-righteous, and can never humble themselves. They say, I got this on my own. And they just continue. God wants His will for your life. He wants, and trust me, His will is going to be so much better than ours. We need to follow. And we need to make the decision to obey, to follow Him. When He says, go, yes, Lord, we'll go. Are we going to have questions? Yes. Are we not going to lie? Is it going to make us feel uncomfortable? Probably. That's part of growing. We need to stop being Jonas. stop running from the Lord. We need to stop thinking more about ourselves than we do others. You see, all those Ninevites that he was going to go preach to, part of the reason why he didn't want to go is because he knew God. Yeah. He said, if he went and he preached to them, he knew God could and would save them. And you know what? Honestly, he didn't want them to be saved. He just as soon turned his back on them because they were terrible, terrible people. And he knew that God was a merciful, loving, forgiving God. And if they had heard the gospel, if they had heard the word of God and turned around, repented of their sins, guess what? God would have forgiven them. And he didn't want any part of that because they were his enemy. Some preacher he is, huh? Have we ever done that? We're going to know a lot about Jonah and who he really is as we go through this book. We're going to see how sad Jonah's life really was. That he couldn't rejoice over the fact that God was wanting sinners to repent from their lives. We need to decide to obey today. Maybe today you're running from God in some way. Maybe it's because of the sins in your life. Maybe it's because of salvation. God is dealing with you for salvation. Maybe today you've been saved, but you need to come to Him for baptism, and you're fighting that. Maybe it's some ministry. Maybe it's something that a direction that God specifically wants you to go, but you're fighting it. You just want to do what you want to do. And so you begin to run from God, and may you start making one bad decision after another. And pretty soon you're really far away from God in a situation that you never, ever thought you'd find yourself in. Whatever the case, in some ways we're all running. We may be running from God. Quit making bad decisions. Make one good decision today. Just one. One step to God. And all those other bad decisions go away because you're going to be right with Him. All it took for Jonah was not to... All it took for him was to get right with God. Do that this morning. Quit running away from God. Give Him your life. And let Him lead it. So as we stand and prepare for an invitation, I don't know your heart, I don't know your life, I don't know why we're running from God. I don't. Maybe you do need. Maybe you are running because He's convicted your heart for salvation. And every time that the invitation is given, every single time, I know this for a fact, every single time you just want to go looking for the door. Can't wait till this is open. Because He's dealing with your heart. Stop making the bad decision of saying, maybe I'm not happy. Make the good decisions. Cancel out all the bad ones and say, Lord, I accept you. I want you in my life. I'm going to say yes to you. And that one good decision totally takes away all the other bad ones. The sin in your life, get rid of it. Quit running because of it. You know, you're embarrassed by God knowing. God knows already. Just get right with it.